Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Did you see the dive here? Was that Taylor Lewan? And look at him playing a violin for your boy, Jalen Ramsey, right? Didn't he just headbutt him with like a little fake headbutt? And then Ramsey did a full dive worse than Harden, the beard.
It was actually worse than the Harden flop on Rudy Gobert's just about ejection before in the Rocket Jazz game.
But they did kick Gobert out.
Right. Gobert got thrown out, but Harden's flop was just embarrassing. And Ramsey's was pretty close right there on that Taylor Lewan headbutt.
The injury report is brought to you by the Salt Institute. Let's take a look at the latest injuries. James Conner, the Steelers, out after his leg injury turned out worse than initially thought. Julio Jones says he'll play for the Falcons this weekend despite not practicing this week. Emmanuel Sanders of the Broncos is done for the year after tearing his Achilles in practice this week. That's awful. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything is better with a little salt. Find out why at alittlesalt.org. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. You got playoff and wild card positions up for grabs in AFC matchups like Baltimore going to see the Chiefs, Indy going to Houston, and the Chargers hosting the Bengals. Check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL today. PharrellOnTheBench.com is rocking during the holidays with tons of picks and tons of winners. Saturday, Army, Navy. Sunday, Pittsburgh, Oakland. Sunday night, Rams, Bears. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All my bowl games, money lines, and spreads are posted already. Go get them while they're hot. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, big UFC event this weekend. It'll all be on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Episode 88 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting show, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. Comes out every Tuesday through Sunday, six shows a week, half-hour sports betting show. Check it out. I think you'll like it. Subscribe free, absolutely free. And then follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. It really isn't that hard to just help us, support us, and subscribe and get it. And then follow us, also painless, on Twitter. So just go do it. If you like the show, support the show, or jump in a river. Here we go.
The Jaguars just stopped Derrick Henry at the 2, where he's about to go in to get his fifth touchdown of the night.
Right.
And basically their entire defense celebrated like they just won the Super Bowl. So nice job by the Jaguar defense tonight.
Down 30 to 9,
going berserk because they finally stopped this guy who they let run down their throat the whole game.
Would you let him run it again here? And they are, he's play action, throwing it, and the guy drops it. How do you drop that pass? How do you drop that pass if you're a pro football player?
Ramsey talking smack to him, too.
Did you see that? Like, how do you drop that? I mean, that is just an absolute touchdown gift wrap for you. Right in your hands. How does he drop that? Like, that guy didn't even have a chance, Davis, to catch that. And meanwhile, he's a decent receiver. I really can't even believe that. 6 minutes left, 30-9, Titans. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Get it at geico.com. So, I just want to say that, I mean, there's a lot going on in Pain Day NFL with this game tonight and this weekend, and there's a ton of stories that we can talk about tonight. One of those is Alex Smith. Did you see this story about Alex Smith that he's like it's really bad, right? He's in the hospital, and apparently he's got like an infection or something after multiple surgeries. After he broke his leg against the Texans, he immediately underwent surgery, now having complications from that surgery. He's having devastating complications from the broken leg and battling an infection. It's premature to say that it means anything for his playing future, but it is being handled with care and dealt with seriously by doctors. Everyone appreciates the concerns and prayers over the injury he incurred. This is a serious injury. Alex and his family remain strong. We would ask that everyone please honor the Smith request for privacy at this time. Do you think they've lost three straight since his injury? Their season's over. Do you think that he's going to play football again? You don't know, but I mean, it's like Theismann, right?
Certainly doesn't sound like it, but it's just like with who's the other guy we were talking about who got hurt last week or 2 weeks ago, and we thought, will he ever play again? You don't know. You have no idea. Some guys heal differently. Everybody, it's all different situations.
The Zach Miller guy?
Yeah, him too. You know, you never know.
Can you believe, can you even explain to me the Bocce jinx on that team that they had two quarterbacks break their legs in like less than 3 weeks? I've never seen that before, ever.
That's why it's hard for me to get on the coach with what happens at the end of this year.
Is there anyone cockier than this Jaguar team that, you know, is what are they, 4-8?
I love watching them get embarrassed on national TV.
4-8, getting embarrassed on national TV. Their quarterback out of USC, Kessler's, he's a disaster. I mean, he really is, right? Bortles is a disaster. That team's a disaster.
Yeah, but tonight their defense is a disaster.
But they act like they're the greatest team ever.
They got embarrassed tonight by that guy.
It's so funny that they, you know, in my view, never learned at all, it would appear to me, how to win. You know what I mean? They don't know how to win. Like, they won and made it to the AFC title game, and they still, like, are playing, honestly, like a loser organization, aren't they? Are they not, like, a loser team? Like, they play like losers. They remind me, I hate to say it, like, of the Tampa Bay Bucks history. You know, the Bucks, I know they got one once, so that, God bless them for that, right? But remember they just were always awful? And Jacksonville has had, what, a couple of decent seasons? They've had a couple of decent runs in their history, I mean, where they've made an impact. But overall, would you say they've been bad? As they have. I think they have.
I mean, since they've come into the league, it's probably 50-50. I mean, what is it, 25 years or so they've been in the league?
Right.
It's probably about half and half, good years and bad years.
But, I mean, this team has been really bad.
Well, this is great.
How do you go?
Full-blown embarrassment because they were supposed to be good this year.
Right. How do you go from the you should have won the game in Gillette, but you didn't. You should have been in the Super Bowl, but you weren't. And now you come back and you're this bad. It's inexplicable, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well, I think it is because it's Blake Bortles. That was why they were so awful. Because their defense is still highly ranked, even though they don't win, and they seem pretty cocky for a team that never wins, and they act like idiots. Namely, Jalen Ramsey acts like an idiot, and then the rest of them follow him, right? Like peas in a pod. But they are, they just don't know how to win. They don't, I don't even think they know how to be, you know, successful, is what I'm saying. They had success, and then they let it slip through their fingers. It really is embarrassing. Later, we're going to talk to Patrick Finley. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times in Chicago. That's coming up here in about 8 minutes. You know, it looks like we'll find out if Trubisky's starting, but it looks like he is going to be able to go on Sunday night against the Rams. And before I talk to Patrick Finley, what do you think of that game, Carver High, going into Soldier Field Sunday night, freezing cold, hostile environment on Lake Michigan? That's going to be crazy. Do you think the Rams have problems in the cold in Chicago?
I'm interested to see. It's the first time they're really going to be put in a situation like this year. They've played most of their games either in great weather or indoors when they, you know, they've haven't had a real opportunity to play in a cold, wintry game yet. So I'm interested. Maybe they'll lean a little bit more on Gurley on Sunday night than throw the ball around like they usually do. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Bears will hang in there with them.
So Miami has been a dangerous place to go for the Patriots over the years. And here they go again. Brady is 7-9 against the Dolphins in Miami. He's thrown 15 picks in those games. He's 15-1 against the Dolphins in Foxborough, with the lone loss coming January 1st, 06 in a game. Brady played only the first quarter before giving way to Matt Castle. Was that when he got hurt? They return to South Florida on Sunday to play the 500 Dolphins with a chance to clinch the AFC East. The forecast is 83, 75% humidity, and it's setting up for a muggy day. But it's not quite hot enough, according to Tannehill. He wants it hotter, but there's nothing you can do about that either.
Well, didn't we have that crazy stat when the Patriots lost in Jacksonville earlier this year where
they went down
Brady never wins, or the Patriots with Brady haven't won over, like, what is it, 91 degrees or something like that?
Right.
They never win.
Patriots have played one game in Florida in 2018 in Jacksonville where the kickoff temperature was the hottest in the NFL in 15 years, 97 degrees. They lost 31-20. The weather in Foxborough this week has been in the 20s and 30s. So it's a difference of 60 degrees. Brady said it's been challenging before. I think the climate plays some role, and they always seem to play well when they play us down there. We're not going to get beat by the weather. We're going to get beat by the Dolphins. That's what we realize. We're going to go up against a good team that plays us very well at home. The Dolphins have won four of their last five games against New England. The Dolphins are 4-1 at home this season, behind one of the NFL's best home field advantages. Do you think the Dolphins are that good at home? I mean, I know the record says they are, but are you in fear of the Dolphins at any point going into a game?
Absolutely not.
That's what I would say. It's funny that even in December, the temperature will hit 80 on Sunday.
It was hot last week when the Bills were there.
Was it?
Yeah.
I wish I was there.
Me too.
To be honest with you, I got to tell you. Last December, Dolphins corner Xavien Howard picked off Brady twice in Miami's 27-20 upset win on a Monday night game. Howard's not playing in this game. He's got a knee injury. Tannehill is 3-0 in his last three home games against the Pats with 7 touchdowns and 1 pick. Tannehill said conditioning and heat and humidity become more and more important. He figures teams from the northern climates often struggle with that in the fall and winter months because they aren't used to practicing in it on a daily basis. Being able to play at home, the weather's always good for us because we're down here all the time. I think sometimes it hits some of these teams hard, Gase said, especially now, like last Sunday. You look at these guys at the end of the game, and everybody is exhausted. And then Belichick won't talk about weather. It's more the Dolphins, he said. It's about the Dolphins, not the weather. 855-212-4227. We're going to hear from Patrick Finley about the Bears-Rams game. He's with the Sun-Times in Chicago next on the Bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so let's hook up with Patrick Finley. Covers the Bears for the Sun-Times in Chicago. They got a huge game on Sunday Night Football with the Rams. So, Pat, let's start by talking about, you know, I was talking to my dad today, and he was like, are the Bears any good? And I said, you know, they're not bad. They're a first-place team. They're 8-4 because my dad is a Steeler fan and he's old and he's visiting me and he's, you know, he doesn't know anything anymore. He doesn't follow sports anymore like he used to. He just doesn't give a rat's ass. But he used to love the Bears and Steelers his whole life, and he's a Steelers season ticket holder. I said, the Bears are pretty good. I go, they're not like they used to be good. I said, but they got a good defense, but not an 85 Bears defense. So, Pat, why don't you do my dad a favor, because he likes listening to the show, and tell him about the Chicago Bears these days.
The Chicago Bears are 8-4. They're the third best team in the NFC, but by a pretty wide margin on both ends. They're, you know, when they face the Rams here on Sunday, that's going to be the first real test they've had since they played the Patriots a month ago, you know, to see how good they are. This defense might not be the 85 Bears, but, you know, between Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, those are two of the fiercest inside-outside guys you're going to find on any team in football. You know, this is a team that gave up 30 points in overtime to the Giants last week, so they're clearly not a dominant D every week. But they've got some weapons, and it'll be really interesting to see what they do about against the Rams on Sunday.
Did you, find the period with Trubisky out of the lineup, successful, moderate? What did they do? What did they accomplish, do you think, so far without him?
I think it was the best possible situation for both Mitch and for Chase Daniel, his backup, because Chase came out and beat the Lions in a divisional game. But you know what? He was good, but not good enough to make people take Mitch Trubisky for granted. He went 1-1. I think what we learned about Chase being out there is, I think the secret sauce of this Bears offense is Mitch Trubisky's athleticism and his ability to tuck the ball and run when he has to. Chase Daniel can't do that. Mitch can, and it's just a whole different thing when you've got an athlete back there.
So tell me about today's Trubisky update on how his right shoulder is. Like, where is he at this point?
He's going to play on Sunday, unless something, you know, ridiculous happens in Friday's practice. He was a full participant Wednesday. He was a full participant Thursday. You know, everything seems like a go. And it's interesting because, you know, maybe they could have rushed him back for the Giants. But I think the Bears did circle this game as one that they wanted to make sure he was completely healthy for. And it looks like they're getting their wish.
So, like, what happened to him lately in the second half of games? It seems like they've, like, gassed out and started giving up lots of points.
Yeah, their defense is interesting. They've given up almost as many points in the fourth quarter as they've given up in all three other quarters combined, which is insane. And, you know, you look at some of it, maybe some of it is, you know, garbage time when the Bears got a lead, but not much of it, you know. And, you know, you have to wonder, you know, early in the year, Khalil Mack didn't have a training camp. Roquan Smith, their rookie who held out, didn't have a training camp. So, you know, maybe that was acceptable in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, but it shouldn't be anymore. And, you know, they talk about trying to finish on defense. You know, if this is a defense that they think can win them a playoff game or two, they've got to be better in the fourth quarter.
All right, so Pat Finley with the Sun Times and the Windy City. Let's talk about these games they have left. I know you already took them to win this game. You actually think they're beating the Rams. Why do you think the Rams will struggle? Because it'll be freezing ass, or you think they'll just be in shock? Because I know a lot of teams go to Chicago. I used to live there. I live in New York. I mean, you wuss out if you're from L.A., and then you have to play in that kind of conditions. You become a wussy.
Jared Goff grew up in the Bay Area, went to Berkeley, and now plays for the Rams. Do you want to guess how many games, high school, college, or pro, he's played under freezing?
Like none.
It's one. And it was last month against the Broncos, and he had a passer rating of 58.
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying that that's why the Bears are going to win the game, but I'm saying that the Rams are going to be a special kind of uncomfortable in a weather that the Bears are used to now. I think you could paint a scenario where the Bears defense gets one of their defensive touchdowns, they lead the league in them, and that they buy Mitch just enough time to shake that rust off, you know, maybe in the first half, you know, get going in the third quarter. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Rams are probably the better team. Well, no, I think the Rams are for sure the better team. But when you're playing a night game in the cold on the road after going to Detroit and then going back home, I think the Bears have a chance to steal one here on Sunday.
Yeah, it levels the playing field a lot. Those conditions change the whole atmosphere of this game. Let me ask you this question. So let's say they get out of Chicago, and because the Rams are going to be hosting playoff games and are going to be playing at the Coliseum, does that team go to the Super Bowl, do you think?
I think so, probably. I like them a little bit better than the Saints right now. The Saints have had an ugly couple of weeks. But you know what? Playing at either of those teams is going to be rough for everybody else in the NFC. Right now, if the Rams have finished the season as the number one seed in the NFC, I think they're my pick to go to the Super Bowl. You know, the question here from Chicago is, would you rather play at the Rams or would you rather play at the Saints if you can make it to the second round of the playoffs? And I don't know which one I'd pick because the Superdome is its own special thing, too.
So you think that they're going to be playing like a wild card game at Soldier Field, and then they're going to have to go on the road for a brutal divisional semi?
Yeah. I think, you know, the home field advantage in New Orleans is better than the one at the Coliseum. In my college, or back when I covered colleges, I did a lot of games at the Coliseum, and it's big, but I don't think it's that intimidating. But you know what? The Rams are going to be the better team there. So, you know, that's what Bears fans are talking about here. They're not putting the cart before the horse, but, you know, would you rather play the Rams on a lovely day in January outside, or would you rather go into the loud, unseasonably cold and weird Superdome and have to put up with the Saints?
So you think they're going to split and go 10-6, and that would be a really strong Nagy performance, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. And, you know, to be able to take, you know, somebody like Khalil Mack, you know, what, 8 days before the season starts, to integrate him into your defense, to get Mitch Trubisky to make the strides that he's made. I mean, there is a Jared Goff comparison with Mitch here. I think a lot of people at the end of last season were pretty convinced that Trubisky wasn't very good. And, you know, at the very least, he has, you know, shut those people up. I don't know whether Mitch is great. I don't know whether he'll ever be great, but he's certainly competent. And maybe a year ago now, we weren't sure that he was. So that's a big, big picture accomplishment, my Nagy. You know, little picture, my God, if they can go 10-6 and play in the playoffs in Chicago for the first time in 8 years, yeah, that's a big deal.
Patrick Finley, Sun-Times, do you think everybody in Chicago is just licking up the Packers having all kinds of problems?
Yeah, and I will tell you this, though. The Bears play the Packers next week. It might be the Packers Super Bowl, and I would not look past them, regardless of who their coach is and regardless of all the crap that's going on up there.
Do you think you guys can close out on the road with the Niners beating them out there? Can they go out west and prove they can go west and win a game, I don't care against who, and can they go to Minneapolis in the last – you know, game of the year on the 30th and beat the Vikings on the road. Those are, I think that Viking game's brutal, probably.
That's brutal, but there is a scenario where the Bears have clinched the third seed and the Vikings are playing for their playoff lives. And then you've got to wonder whether the Bears play their starters. I mean, we're not there yet, and it's, you know, Bears fans have seen stranger things happen than them lose three games in a row, which they could do here. But if they're in a good position, you wonder whether Trubisky sits down and whether Chase Daniel plays. Remember, Matt Nagy, this is a head coach who, you know, on the third preseason game, the one that everybody plays their starters during for three quarters, decided that he wasn't going to play a single one minute. So they tend to go conservative there. And, you know, if they've got anything locked up, maybe we'll see a lot of backups on December 30th.
Are you surprised at all the success Burton and Miller have had catching the ball and scoring TDs?
Yeah, Burton's had a bad couple of games. But before then, yes. A little more surprised by Miller. You know, you looked at what he was able to do in college, you know, and at Memphis, you just wonder whether that translates to big boy football. And it certainly has. He was their best player in training camp by, you know, a good margin. So, you know, you saw it pretty quick. And then the fact that he was able to do it in games has been that much more impressive. They need to get Burton going because he's really, you know, the only every down tight end that they've got. And, you know, he didn't have a catch last week, and the week before he fumbled. So if he can get on track here, that's just one more weapon for Mitch Trubisky.
And how about I love watching Eddie Jackson and Kyle Fuller play.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Fuller's one of these guys where, you know, two years ago, you know, anybody in the league probably could have traded for him for not very much, maybe for a fifth-round pick. You know, he's a first-rounder. He looked like a bust. He looked a lot like Kevin White does now, the old receiver from West Virginia, who's not even active on game days anymore. And, you know, Fuller was able to, you know, remake himself, stay out on the field, stay healthy, and play a really physical corner. And he was so good that the Packers tried to steal him away from the Bears in the offseason, you know, via the restricted free agency. The Bears decided to keep him. It was a great move. And Eddie Jackson, I mean, Eddie Jackson might be a first-team all-pro safety right now. You know, as a second-year player, this is somebody who, had he not broken his leg at Alabama, probably would have been a first- or second-round pick. Instead, the Bears got him in the fourth. And, you know, he and Tariq Cohen, both in the fourth round in the same draft, I would say it's a pretty good accomplishment for Ryan.
Yeah, no doubt. Patrick Finley, he's got the Bears 27-23 over the Rams on a cold, freezing, dark night, he calls it in the Sun-Times. That just sounds ominous. Hey, Patrick, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Love you. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll catch up soon, man.
Sounds great. Good to you, bro.
All right, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times on a bench on CBS Sports Radio. All right, that was fantastic. I love a good Irish guy during the holidays talking about, you know, in terms of my gambling, the Chicago Bears on Sunday night.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so are you hearing what I'm hearing, that the this is, it just never ends, the Lakers drama? I mean, I can't get enough of it, I guess, because, I mean, I was talking about it all night last night, wasn't I? About them blaming, you know, Magic and who else? It was what, Durant? Who? And Kobe. Everybody said something to say about LeBron. Meanwhile, the guy's just lighting everyone up, leading the Lakers in everything, winning games for him and everything else. And that he's got the ball too much. He's using the ball too much. Everything goes through him too much. And the Lakers are becoming the Cavs too much. And all this other nonsense. I mean, did they not get this guy to just flat out win? I mean, is that not what they got him for, to win? Obviously, it's for something much bigger. Merchandise, ticket sales, Hollywood, movies, TV shows, red carpet, you know, fame, primetime games. That's probably why they got him, right? So they're on TV every night. Right, for their business model. But this one here today, this one tops the keg, doesn't it? Are you seeing this? That they want Melo. He wants Melo on the team now.
Of course he does.
LeBron wants the Lakers to sign Melo for the rest of the season. Did that not just tragically hip end the Rockets? The last one just a disaster, right? And then all these, remember when didn't they try to do it with Wade and him in Cleveland? That didn't work either. This is like the banana boat club here that they're trying to pull off again. Right? Because Wade, CP3, LeBron, and Melo are all best buddies, right? So now he's unemployed because the Rockets dumped his ass and he wants his buddy to have a gig hooping. And he wants it to be with the Lakers. Jeez, doesn't it seem like the last thing they need right now is Carmelo Anthony to screw up that young team, honestly, with his isolation ball? What, are they going to bring him in for 10 minutes a game to chuck threes? Or are they going to bring him in for 5 minutes to miss threes? Is he not finished? Did they not just see what happened in Houston? I mean, honestly, who can explain this to me? I don't get it. CP3 even said at one point, obviously I'm biased. He's not just a teammate or friend. That's my family. I just want him to be happy. I want him to get a chance to hoop. I know how much he loves to hoop. That's all he wants to do is hoop. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It's going to be clear in the coming days if there's a market for Anthony still in L.A. or elsewhere. I'm seeing this story out of The Athletic. If LeBron really wants him, it might not matter. Magic should fight him on it. I know I would. This is according to some, you know, big suit in the league that would not want Carmelo Anthony on that team, and that LeBron's going to get his way unless Magic opposes it and fights it. And the last guy they're going to ask for an opinion on this is not the GM now with the Lakers, the young new GM. It's not Luke Walton. I mean, Luke Walton, does he have any say at all? I mean, honestly, on the Lakers, besides less than zero? Is he not like the last person they go to for anything at this point? It really is funny, isn't it, how he's got no juice? I mean, at this point, he looks like a guy that just is lucky to have the job. He's lucky he's even the coach. You know that won't last either, right? Like, do you get this feeling like that's just a short-term stopgap thing with Luke Walton there? It's only a matter of time? Or do you think they're going to ride it out with Luke Walton and keep him as their head coach? Because I think, like, after a while, you know, if they don't get to the NBA Finals, like, let's say, I believe this year, if they don't get there this year, and believe it or not, right away, year one, they'll fire him and get someone that they believe will take him to the NBA Finals. But it's not about coaching. It's about LeBron. And it's not about Melo. He's not going to help them do anything.
They can't possibly expect that guy to get to the NBA Finals this year. They cannot. That cannot be the bar for them.
But that's what they are. They are expecting it because
they're stupid then.
They think they have a chance with, you know, Denver and the Clippers and Oak City. They think they have his every bit. Even Luke Walton said it, didn't he? We can win a championship with this unit. That was, you know, famous last words. He should have never put his foot in his mouth, basically, right there, because he's saying they can win it all with what he has right now. They don't need another player. They don't need Anthony Davis. And they certainly don't need Carmelo Anthony. But are you going to be surprised at all if they go get Carmelo Anthony?
I won't be shocked.
Well, they already went and got Tyson Chandler. They did that in 5 minutes, didn't they? So you wouldn't be shocked at all if they go get him?
Not one bit.
So do you think that that's what they're going to do is bring Melo there in his final swan song? Because he's already had it.
He's not doing anything else.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, is it not crazy? So... he can't be traded until December 15 because he signed as a free agent in the offseason. If the Rockets waive him, the Lakers would need to dump one of their players to make room for him. Otherwise, the Lakers could move Anthony in a minor trade involving a player like Michael Beasley, a vet who signed as a free agent in L.A. for $3.5 million, struggling to crack the rotation. But, you know, that's what they got to do. Another factor that if they get him in a trade, it would mean that none of his salary counts toward Houston's luxury tax, so its ownership would save around $2.6 million on the tax bill alone. God, can you believe there's still even a conversation, let alone a market, for this guy after what happened, you know, in Houston, even in Oak City? Another thing, I've had this conversation with you before on the show about these guys, what they look like in the NHL. Did you see Justin Brown? Like, honest, Dustin Brown?
Yes.
Can you even believe how he looks? Like, I don't even know that guy. What happened to his face? Like, what did he leave his face behind 4 years ago?
He's been through a lot.
I mean, what happened to Dustin Brown's face? I mean, honestly, can someone explain it to me? Because that's not even Dustin Brown on the Kings. That's not him at all. What happened? I remember when he looked completely different. What happened to that guy? A couple too many pucks to the face? I mean, Jesus. Dude. Kyle in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, for real, can I get a Heineken on draft, man?
Can we get him a cold, freshy shake?
Hey, guys. All right, man, why would the Lakers want to bring Carmelo there? What would that do? I mean, they got Contavious Caldwell Pope. They got all these guys on there that are really starting to show up. Lonzo's actually showing up right now. I mean, who would have thought that? And, I mean, I really think the pieces are there to make a playoff run. And, I mean, there won't be Golden State. No one will. But
well, listen, at least Lonzo Ball is young and athletic, right? And he can run and he can pass and he can certainly, fill the hole, and run the break. I mean, the guy can definitely flat out dish the rock and get into the, in a transition game. I like him on the floor way better than I would an old washed up Carmelo Anthony, trailing the play and jacking threes from 30 feet. I mean, seriously, at least Ball knows how to get the rock and then, get some space and get rid of it and find the right guy cutting down the alley to make a bucket. Melo doesn't do that. He doesn't pass. He doesn't do anything anymore besides shoot and miss. Why can't people just accept the fact that he's finished? It's amazing to me how they want to keep giving this guy jobs literally in every NBA city, right? Like, I mean, the only team, like I said this before, right? Like, I could see him on that would help a team would be Memphis. You know what I mean? Like, I think he could actually, because that team is about, I think, Gasol and Mike Conley, et cetera. If they had that guy just standing on the wing, just literally standing there and no one guarding him because no one's going to guard him, then just let him shoot threes from the wing, I think he could actually help Memphis. But I think he, it's like putting a spare tire on the Lakers driving a fancy, Jaguar or something. You know what I mean? They're driving a fancy sports car, and then they got a spare tire on it in the back. You know what I mean? Because he's like, to me, he's a drag on their youth and their, offense, which I think is high energy and high fast ball movement, right? They're trying to move it around. They don't like the fact that LeBron's the point, right? He really is. Without Rondo, and they're not letting Lonzo be the point. They're, letting LeBron run the offense, right? But it is moving the ball around quickly and getting a look and taking it, right? So if you have all these young guys that can run and gun and fill it up and move the ball quickly and everything else, what's it going to do to it to put in that old stagnant Melo who can barely get up and down the floor anymore? Now, people will say I'm crazy, but if you can't tell that he's got all that mileage on him on those feet, and that his, shoes are sticky. That guy's not doing anything anymore. Doing what? Jumping, dunking, running, shooting? What is he doing? Besides nothing. He's not even playing. The rust on this guy is like, he's the Tin Man at this point. Is he not? I just don't get it. It is amazing to me. It really is on a nightly basis when I come in here. And every week, it doesn't matter if I'm on vacation, if I'm here, if I'm in L.A., I'm always just – it just never ends with Carmelo Anthony. Have you ever seen anything like it? How does this guy just keep popping up? He's like a cockroach. He really is. The lights come on at night. You got to get some out of the fridge, and they scatter and run. Everybody, is like, whoa, did you see that bug flying across the – that's what he's like to me. He's like a guy that just won't go away. Is he not? I mean, honestly – he started being terrible with the Knicks, and he's still had five jobs since then. He just wants to hoop. Well, then go down to the YMCA and fill it up against a bunch of fat white guys. Right? Like, honestly, I won't believe it if they pick him up. I really won't. It'll just be like, you have got to be kidding me. At some point, don't you just say that? Like, is this really happening? The guy just won't go away? You know what he reminds me of almost? I hate to say it because he could really play ball at one time for sure, right? I won't deny that. He could really fill it up. He could shoot. He could score. And when he, you know, when he came out of Syracuse, he was a stud and everything else. But it's just unbelievable to me. I don't know. He's like the guy. It's just the veteran player that just wants. He's like a boxer, is what he reminds me of. The guy that he's Roy Jones. He just keeps fighting for some reason, right? The guy, does he not just keep popping up and fighting? Here's Roy Jones' final fight for the 12th time, right? The guy that just, it's one more for charity. He's doing it for the homeless. One more fight. He just won't go. He's on pay per view. He's on free TV this weekend, Roy Jones. He's fighting in the lobby at 345 Hudson. It's Roy Jones. Friday night is actually an exhibition with Floyd Mayweather and the Japanese guy that he's fighting on New Year's Eve. By the way, that fight's back on. We knew that, but it actually is on, and they laid the ground rules today, Carver High, for the fight. It's three rounds. Exhibition does not count toward anyone's record. It's just a boxing exhibition.
Exciting stuff.
Very gripping at Floyd Mayweather. He's like, is he like Mello, Floyd Mayweather? He just keeps popping up every week as a story for no reason at all. They showed him at the Laker game the other night, last night against the Spurs. That's a story. Just when he goes to the game, that becomes a story too. It's embarrassing. Please, Mello, go sail the world or something. Go to Bora Bora. Go to Fiji. Do something. Stop playing in the NBA.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.